Okay, so this morning we come to our seventh essential for the follower of Jesus, and that is relationships. And our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 9. We've been taking all these from Acts, the book of Acts, so it just gives us a little bit of a look in. And we've been following this, the headings from this book of Christian Essentials by Ken Noakes, an Australian author, and it's been very helpful to me in preparation. So we're looking at Acts chapter 9, and just from verse 10 to 19. Acts 9, verse 10. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus called Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Let's pray that the Lord helps us as we consider this subject this morning, this afternoon. Lord, just bless our time around your word. Help us, Lord, as we look into other scriptures as well. And help us, Lord, just to know what it's like to be this essential of being a follower of Jesus in relationships, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, Esther actually touched on this subject and talked about people who were afraid and spoke about Ananias, who was told by the Lord to go and speak to a man from Tarsus named Saul. And Ananias had heard about this man and all the harm he had done to followers of Jesus, and he was on his way to do the same in Damascus. Ananias, who was a follower of the Lord, had a choice. He could disobey the Lord and not go, or he could obey the Lord and go and meet this man, Saul of Tarsus. This man, Saul, was a brand new Christian. He had responded to the Lord's call, and he was now a brother in Christ. Ananias was afraid of Saul, but God called him to love and to serve Saul. He called him Brother Saul in verse 17, and God used him to restore Saul's sight, and Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit and was baptized. Saul was now a brother in Christ. And this morning we're going to just consider that subject of relationships, and we're considering Christian love, loving as Jesus would have us love. Love is written so often about. There's films based on love, the desire to love and to be loved, and so many songs sung about love. Maybe you can think of some headings yourself of popular songs about love, like "Love is a Battlefield," or "Stupid Love," or "Love Hurts," or "A Crazy Little Thing Called Love," "Love is Just a Game," "Can't Help Falling in Love," or "All You Need is Love." Just one little word, and yet the world is captivated by it. Just a few titles of these famous love songs show us how the world is taken up with the subject of love. A popular subject, yet a very complicated concept. And this morning I want to talk to you about an essential for the follower of Jesus is the call to be loving. What we are considering this morning is Christian love. That is the love for others that is both acceptable and pleasing to God. And of course, this starts off with our love for God. So I'm going to turn to Matthew. Matthew in chapter 22, 34 to 40. 34 to 40, it reads, it's about the greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law, in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Here we have the Sadducees and the Pharisees coming together, trying to trap and trip Jesus up by asking awkward questions. These two groups didn't agree very much on much together, but when it got to come into discredit and bring Jesus down, they got together. And here one of their experts in the law tested Jesus by asking, which is the greatest commandment in the law? You know, these groups had over 600 laws, and they were often trying to debate and see which were the most important ones, which were the greater ones, and which were the lesser ones. But Jesus here quotes from the two Old Testament scriptures that these guys should really well know. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus says. And this is from Leviticus 19, verse 18. And if you think of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses up there on Mount Sinai, the first four commandments relate to God, and they're covered by that first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God, that Jesus quoted to the religious leaders. And you can't have one without the other. You must love God, and that's the first and greatest. And then the second six of the Ten Commandments are about one another, and are covered by that second greatest commandment given here by Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 13, 8 to 10. And he says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Paul here is writing to the follower of Jesus in Rome. He is expressing that essential to love one another. He calls it the continuing debt of love one to the other. An essential for the follower of Jesus then is to a call to be loving. And we are, of course, considering Christian love. That is a love for others that is both pleasing and acceptable to God. When you think of love and God, well, you can't go beyond 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 especially talks about God's love and ours. In 1 John 4, 7 to 8, we see where love comes from. Let's read these two verses, 7 and 8. 1 John 4, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love comes from God. God is love. God is the origin of perfect love. Love starts with God. Love is best expressed in God. Love is exercised thanks to God. Love is experienced most effectively by anyone loving like God. When we view God's love here, we see that the perfect relationship of the Trinity, we see Father, we see the Son and the Holy Spirit. How did God show us his perfect love? Well, John describes it for us here in verse 9 of chapter 4, down to verse 16. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. And we've been thinking about that this morning as we gather around the Lord's table. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. In the Godhead, the Trinity, we see perfect love, perfect truth, and perfect obedience. They are the perfect example of what loving one another should look like. Looking at the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit shows us perfect love. We are not saying that a person without God cannot love, as all humans have been made in the image of God. But the kind of love we are looking at here this morning, or this afternoon, and that John is talking about here is Christian love, one that comes from God and is demonstrated in the Trinity. Since God loved us, so we ought to love one another. Verse 11, it is a love that is pleasing to God. As we think about Christian love that is an essential for the follower of Jesus, let's think about how this love is connected to truth and to obedience, and how these three cannot be separated. Firstly, let's look at love. And 1 John 3:11 to 16, it says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Know that we have passed from death to life, because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Think back there to Genesis 4, where we see Cain murdered his brother Abel. He was angry because the Lord looked favorably on Abel's offering, but not on Cain's offering. Cain had a choice to do the right thing or to do the wrong thing in the sight of God. He could have done what God asked him, or he could disobey God. Instead of loving God and his brother, he hated and killed his brother and disobeyed God. And John uses this illustration from Genesis to teach us what love is really like. We are to love one another. True love is love that is both pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. We are to love as children of God. To love in this way may not be acceptable by the world, John tells us. The world may hate us as followers of Jesus, like Cain hated his brother Abel. What is it that the world wants you to love? Maybe it's possessions, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's ideals, lifestyles, ambitions, self, or behaviors. Not only what does the world want you to love, but how does the world want you to love? It wants us to love only in ways that are always approving and affirming to us. These may not be things or actions that are good. John wants to focus on the fact that Christian love is a sacrificial love for others that is both pleasing and acceptable to God before it is to the world. The opposite to this kind of love may be hatred, as it was in the case of Cain and Abel. But so often the opposite to this Christian love is fear. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. It is not uncommon for Christians to be accused of being unloving, and at times this is true. Christians can be unloving. They have done something that is indeed not pleasing or unacceptable to God. If this is the case, then the accusation is well-founded, and the Christian person should feel the weight or the rebuke or consequence. This view of love, the Bible's view, can be approving and affirming, yet it also sees that it's still possible to love in rebuke or correction. In rejecting those things that are pleasing to God, someone may have taken on the things of the world that are not pleasing to the Lord. That's love, truth. So let's look at truth. The opposite to Cain's reaction, we see how the Lord Jesus laid down his life for us. This is how John defines Christian love. When Jesus went to the cross, he was the only one who ever lived who didn't need the work on the cross to make himself acceptable to God. He was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. When Jesus went to the cross, he did it to make others acceptable to God. Jesus not only gave his life so that others may live, he demonstrated what God's love looks like. Self-sacrificial love is what Jesus displayed in his life and ultimately in his death on the cross. For the Lord Jesus, it meant laying down his life so that we might live. The kind of love John speaks about here is not sentiment or emotion. It is a love that costs, a love that is not looking for a return, a love that may be undeserved, an unselfish love, a love that gives, a love like Christ's love. In verse 18 here, John says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And in verse 19, he goes on to say, this is how we know we belong to the truth. You cannot claim to belong to the truth if there's no evidence of your love for others. And you cannot claim to belong to the truth if you don't obey. Followers of Jesus demonstrate this truth both inside and outside the church all the time. It could be supporting those in need, care for those who are ill, gifts for those who are going without, or response to help those across the world in want. It can be in a way that we listen to each other, the way we encourage one another, and at times rebuke or correct one another. It is demonstrated whenever someone serves Christian love and it's built on truth. We as followers of Jesus need to hold to the truth that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That gospel urges us to take action and to live it out. Let us love with actions and in truth. And then the third thing is obedience. 1 John 3:21 to 24. And that reads, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Obedience, to keep the Lord's commands. Christian love that is pleasing and acceptable to the Lord is a love that obediently follows his commands. It is not that we are earning his love, it is that we are living out what it means to be loved and loving his truth. Love that is pleasing to God is when you are being obedient to his commands, and most especially to love God first, and second, to love one another. These are what Jesus considered the two most important commandments. If we ignore or disregard what is commanded of us, then what we're doing is putting our own desires before God's desires for us. This is being selfish, like Cain. Without obedience to God, it is impossible to demonstrate true Christian love. Christian love is sacrificial love for others that is both pleasing and acceptable to God before it is pleasing to the world. It puts God first. It's a three-way thing. Christian love is where truth is valued. Christian truth tells us how to obey. Christian obedience demonstrates true love. The world says all you need is love, and we can define love to be whatever we choose. But God says, love others in a way that is both pleasing and acceptable to me. Love others in truth, obediently. Essentially, the follower of Jesus is called to be genuine in relationships, even in our love, truth, or obedience. Even if our love and truth and obedience is rejected, mocked, or ignored by the world, we love because God first loved us. 1 John 4:19. Paul the Apostle understood what it was like to be loved sacrificially by Jesus. He'd been persecuting Christians, and in turn, when he turned to follow Jesus, he was the one being persecuted. And we read of the many persecutions that Paul went through. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, wrote one of the most descriptive explanations of what Christian love is. And we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll just read a few verses of that. 1 Corinthians 13. Verses 4 to 7. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. This is perfect love that drives out all fear. This is God's love. Patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, not proud, not taking down others, not self-seeking, not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs, not delighting in evil, but rejoicing in the truth. Always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. with this picture of this essential for the follower of Jesus, this picture of Christian love in mind, let us each one respond to this call to action, to remember that God first loved us and that we should love one another, remembering that Christian love is a sacrificial love for others that is both pleasing and acceptable to God before it is to the world. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us with this essential for the follower of Jesus to be loving in relationships. Help us as we belong to the truth to obey and to do what pleases you, and this includes the way we love one another. We need to first love you, and we need to love our neighbour as ourselves. We need your love. Thank you for the love you showed to us by sending your one and only Son to come to this world to die in our place. What great love you showed us. Help us to see the truth in your word that says, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And we ask these things in and through the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.